Mamar Chazal, they will be able to go into a new, something new. So the Mamar Chazal begins over here. If you have the article edition, it is on page 717. 717, Pasuk Ches. Re'isi halayla v'hinei ish rechev al sus odoyim v'hu omid ben ha'hadasim asher ba'mitzulot. Okay, the Pasuk is describing, to recap, a vision. Zechariah has a vision. He sees a man, an ish, riding on a red horse. And the red horse is standing amongst the hadasim, which are located in a swamp. Who is the ish? So we learn many interpretations. The ish either refers to Hashem, Hashem ish milchama, or the ish is a malach, or the ish is, according to the Malbum, Alexander the Great. It is a mashal, it is a vision of Alexander the Great. He's riding a red horse. What's the symbolism of a red horse? It's Alexander the Great, the bloodthirsty tyrant. A person, sus, represents gaiva, represents geos. So if it refers to Hashem, it's a kosher gaiva. It's a gaiva de kedusha. But if it refers to Alexander the Great, it's a gaiva of tumah. And the color of the horse is red.
Hashem, it really means cutting down
the wicked. Cutting down the wicked represents dignity. It represents sovereignty. Malchus, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Geus, Lodesh, the Nusach of the Tzila of Hashan, it's all about the Gaiva, the Kedusha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Here, and then what is the symbolism of the color red? Red represents, well, if it refers to Alexander, it refers to blood. Blood, if it refers to Hashem, we really did not discuss the significance of the red horse, but it refers to Hashem. Or maybe it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning to bring upon the world, to bring upon Rachman son Churban. Whatever the story is, then it says, but then the horse was standing between the Hadassim. What are the Hadassim? So we learn the Hadassim refers to either Hananya, Mishael, Va'azaria, or the Hadassim refers to the Tzadikim of the generation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees these tzaddikim, he's going to hold the horse back. He's not going to let the horse proceed and bring upon Klal Yisrael Churban in the merit of the hadassim, the tzaddikim. And where are these tzaddikim to be found? In the Mitzulah. What is the Mitzulah? The Mitzulah is Bavel. The Mitzulah is the swampy land, the land of Bavel. Okay, so now the Mamor Chazal Mabayim Vahiyo Yemein Es Hadassah says concerning Mordechai. Mordechai was Omein. Omein means he was a nurse, a male nurse. He raised Es Hadassah, the correlate Esther. So we know that this Hadassah is Esther. So who is she? Is this Esther or is this Hadassah? Tanya. And in Ne'oimer, Esther Shema. Her real name was Esther. V'lomeniko Shema Hadassah Al Shem HaTzadikim Sheniklu Hadassim. Her real name was Esther. Her name, nickname was Hadassah. Why Hadassah? Because Hadassah is a code word for tzaddik in the Chinuim. And this pasuk that we have learned here today is the source of this idea that Hadassim represents tzaddikim. The word Hadassim, the Hadassim is what is the reason why Hashem will decide not to chas v'shalom destroy. Hashem will prevent there being korban. The Hadassim represents tzaddikim. Okay, so this is a very important pasuk. This pasuk we learned is the makor that Hadassim represents tzaddikim. We learned, as we mentioned last week, we learned that very often when we find tzaddikim in these mystical, cryptic, esoteric passages in the Talmud coming back from Gan Eden to this world, right? These, which we have really no understanding what these Gemaras mean, but we find tzaddikim who for some reason have to come here to give us a message. They always come with hadassim. They come with hadassim. You don't find the Rishoyim coming back to this world with hadassim. You don't find the Gemara B'chlal Rishoyim coming back into this world. But when tzaddikim come back into this world, they're always surrounded by hadassim. And that's an indication that Hadassim represents Ganedim Tzadikim. Okay, next, Maimer. What? Yes, yes, yes. I can't tell you this woman chapter and verse, but I'm confident to tell you that it's found in the Gemara that Hadassim, when Tzadikim come to this world, they come with a wreath of Hadassim around their head. I told you, Lilith, the Pasha of the Gemara is because the world stinks. This world for them is one big cesspool. So they have to counteract the stench with Hadassim. But that's only one shot. The other shot is Hadassim, obviously the Rebbe is something very symbolic. Hadassim really comes to Sukkot. We have to focus on the Hadassim. The trait of the Hadassim is Meshulash. Three leaves coming out of one source. And we do know that Klal Yisrael, everything about Yadus is the number three. Look, we just went to Rosh Hashanah. Malchiyos, Zichroinos, Shofaros. That was the whole day. Okay, the true, every set of the Tekiah is three. Tekiah, Shvarim, Tur, Tekiah, everything is three, three, three. Yisrael, V'oiraisa, V'kudsha, Brichu, Chadhi. Torah, Nevi'im, Tisuvim. Okay, the Torah was given to us in which month? In the third month. By who? By the whole Gemara, all the different threes. The Torah was given, the Torah which is a triple. Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim was given us in the third month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, by to who? To Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third son. The third child. He had two older siblings, Miriam and Aaron. He's the third tribe, Sheva Levi. Ruvain, Shimon, Levi. To a nation, that's three. Yisraelim, Kohanim, and Leviim. What else does the Gemara say? So the Gemara elaborates very, very much on the significance of the number three. The Chut HaMeshulosh Loi B'Mehera Yinotek. Hadassim, teamwork. The essence of a Hadass is three. We put in the lulav three Hadassim, and each of the Hadassim has a series of three leaves coming from the stem, represents the number three. And if Chazal here are telling us that Hadassim represents the code word for Tzadikim, this is the source. Wherever you find Hadassim, you find Tzadikim. Obviously, there's something about the number three that captures the essence of a Tzadik. A Tzadik, why is that? Why? Maybe you can say on your own, what is the significance why the number three is associated with the tzaddik? There's something about maybe achdus, the ability to a solid foundation. The chut meshulosh, in order to have something that's loy b'meheri yinotek, to have stamina, to endurance, you need it to be meshulosh. Okay, let's go further. Next, Maamar Chazal. What does it mean, the Laila? Now we're going over the basics. We already learned this already a few times in the Mamar, in the Mefarsh, the Malbim, and the Radak. What does it mean over here? What does it mean over here in the Laila? Hashem wanted to destroy the entire world. He wanted to make the world into darkness. Choshech. Vine, what held Hashem back? Vine ish reichet, ein ish ela hakodesh baruch hu shnemar. Hashem ish milcham Hashem shemo. Al sus odoim on a red horse. Vikesh hakodesh baruch hu lahapach es ha'olam kula ledam. The red color of the horse is symbolic of blood. Kevon shenistakel b'chananya mishov azarya. They are the hadassim. Niskara daitoi. Hashem was appeased. Shenemar, Hashem cooled down. The charoinah of Hashem diminished. Shenemar, v'hu oimei dein ha-hadassim asher ba-mitzula. Ein hadassim el-tadikim. Shenemar, v'hi oimei nes-hadassa. V'mitzula. And notice the other way around. You see, this isn't amazing. This Maamar Chazal in Sanhedrin is the opposite of the Gemara. The Gemara, wow, isn't amazing. It's an amazing contradiction. The Gemara is in a contradiction, open, blatant contradiction between what it says in the Masechta Sanhedrin and the Masechta Megillah. Unbelievable. In the Masechta Sanhedrin, Megillah, it says the Makor, that the word Hadassah is a tzaddik, is this pasuk here. And now that we know that Hadassah, Hadassah Matzadikim, when it says Esther was Hadassah, That means the shoes are tzaddikis. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says just the opposite. That it's a given that Esther Hamalka was a tzaddikis. And that's why she's called Hadassah. So here, where it says Hadassim, and we do not know what the Hadassim are, here is where it's a question. And here we need to borrow, to derive it from what it says in Masechta Megillah. So it's interesting. What's the Iker and what is the Tafel? And here you see over here two Gemaras which appear to contradict one another. Which one is a more primary source of being a tzaddik? Next, it says that here means Hadas Ve'en Avitul El Bavel Shnema Ha'im 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 Tula Charbi V'Nahar Saich Oidish. We learned this before. Hashem says to the Tzut Bavel, you are my sword. This pasuk is said in reference to Hashem's decision to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem needed a tool, a weapon, to proceed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And what was Hashem's weapon? Bavel. Hashem said to Bavel, Atula to Bavel, you are my sword. V'naharoi saich oivish, and your waters I will dry out, meaning that you will be punished. Although you will be my sword, the weapon to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, your day will come, you will be punished, and you will suffer for your participation in the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Miyad Meleim Roiges Nasim Sukim Vadumim Nasu Levonim. So what does it mean over here in the next part of the pasuk? It says, the Gemara interprets the next part of the pasuk, the Meleim Roiges Nasim Sirukim Vadumim, those that were filled with anger became Sirukim. The pasuk says Acharav, which means after, according to the Gemara's Drash, after Hashem saw the Hadassim in the Mitzula, he had a change of heart. And the Susim, Adumim, Sirukim, the horse that was red, that's how he seems to learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Rashi said that the Pasuk does, the Rashi told us already before now, when we learned the Rashi, that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin is very, very nice, but it doesn't fit into the words of the Pasuk. But the Pasuk seems to indicate that Adumim means Rashi Miyad Mileim Roiges, those that were filled with anger, meaning Hashem, who was filled with anger, we're referring to Hashem in an indirect way, he became Sirukim. Now, it doesn't explain what the word Sirukim, that's one of the mysteries that we've had all along here. What does this word mean? Sirukim. The best shot was, I think, Rabbi Kalman and Rabbi Kalis. They said that it came from the vine, purple. Hashem said, it is my desire that you, the Jewish people, shall produce sweet, delicious grapes. But instead, you betrayed me and you produced sour grapes. And in that description, I don't recall the exact words of the pasuk at this moment, but in that description of describing the vine that Hashem yearned that we should be, the word sarek, livni, the pasuk in Chumash also. In the Birchas Yaakov, the Lasorek Bini Asoynoi, it means a vine, and Osri to bind, La Geffen to the vine.
The Lasorek,
right? You're going to tie your animals to the vines. So there, the word Sorek refers to a healthy, delicious, luscious vine, a vine full of healthy grapes, which I'm assuming has a purplish reddish color, somewhere in between purple and red. And that would indicate the word, if we're going to use the word Sidukim as a color, it would appear, and then we're going to assume that the word Sidukim is related to the color of a vine. So the color of a vine is somewhere between purple and red. Correct? Something like that? Something like that, those colors is what comes to mind. I used to do, I remember I once spent time doing photoshopping. I purchased images from Shutterstock on vines and grapes. I spent like probably 2 hours going through a million pictures of vines and grapes, all different colors and different shades of purple and this and that. And and whatever. That was interesting. So therefore, they're all different colors. Sudhir, they have so many colors. Because grapes come today in, you name it. You name it, it comes in. Actually, I have to show you something. I once made an Al Hanichi card. And I photoshopped a vine, and I put on the vine different color grapes. Clients. And it was rejected because it just didn't look right. But in that process, you learn about colors of grapes. And okay, we're borrowing from that over here in this Chazal. And in this Gemara, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was filled with anger, he cooled down. And the word Sirukim, I don't know, somehow, some way means Hashem calm down. And Va'adunim, whatever was red, became white. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we dress in white. The Sifrei Torah are dressed in white. It represents Slicha u'mechila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for their sins. Maybe this is a makar. I mean, there are many makaris for why. It's a very interesting topic of discussion. Why is it the Mina Yisrael during the Yimei Ratzayim, Chodesh Tishrei, to put on the Oroin and the Sifrei Torah a white mantle? Why? So you'll say, oh, well, the Baal Tefila, he wears a kittel. And many members of the Kehillah wear a kittel. Yom Kippur, almost, I'm assuming most people wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, they're different than Hagim if you wear a kittel. But on Yom Kippur, people were so white. What does one thing have to do with another? The reason why people wear a white kittel, you can darshan. It's the clothing of Malachim, of the angels. Maybe it's tachrichim. It represents purity. But what the Sefer Torah didn't do in Avera. The Sefer Torah doesn't need to be dressed in white. Didn't do any Avera with the Sefer Torah. Why is the Sefer Torah changed from its colorful mantle, the Paroiches, beautiful, beautiful, colorful mantle, we change it to white? What the Sefer Torah did in Avera? And it needs Slicha u'mechila. We have to dress the Sefer Torah in Tchrichim? I mean, what's going on over here? On Tisha B'Av, there's a minog. We don't do this anymore. You don't see this done anywhere anymore. It's almost shocking for someone to say Tisha B'Av, but it used to be a minog. They would drape the Sefer Torah in a black mappa, black, and they would put the Sefer Torah on the floor. Could you imagine? If we put the Sefer Torah on the floor, it falls on the floor, you have to fast. But they would actually put the Sefer Torah on the floor. Kinesoi mutol lefanav. Just like a person, as Rahman was son of a relative who dies, he's supposed to put the dead body on the floor. They put the Sefer Torah on the floor. How could you do that? It's very simple. The only time you have to fast is if the Sefer Torah falls on the floor, because it's not supposed to be on the floor. But if you put the Sefer Torah on the floor, you don't have to fast. That's where it belongs. And on Tisha B'Av, as a sign of Avelus, which we have to really relates very much to Rosh Hashanah, it was mamish put on the floor. It's in the Gemara. It's Kalan the Gemara. I think it's in the Gemara. The Gemara says it's not the Gemara. It's certainly in Chazal. And in fact, the person who gets the first Aliyah on Tisha B'Av, when you get an Aliyah, you're supposed to say quietly in an undertone, Baruch Dayan Ho'emes. When a person is called to the Torah on Tisha B'Av. So the question is, why the white? Why? The Sefer Torah did not do an Avera. The Sefer Torah is not in mourning. We are in mourning. Why do the Sefer Torah suffer with us in addressing the Zuntait? The answer is, the answer is very simple, because the Sefer Torah represents Hashem. The Sefer Torah represents Hashem Shekhinah. Imoy Anoichi Pitzara. On Tisha B'Av, when we are in Avelus, Hashem is in Avelus. So the Shekhinah that is found in the Torah is draped in black and put on the floor. Hashem is sitting Shiva together with us. On Rosh Hashanah, it's this Pasuk right here. the Sefer Torah that was draped in a in an ostentatious red, okay, red over here, you know, more dash of blood, but it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pacified. He forgives us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we come into the Yomim Noiroim, is Mole Kaf, is Mole Reges, Midas Hadin, and the Midas Hadin HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the right, Rachman Al-Utzlan, to bring upon us Chorban. But then when Klal Yisrael is Mistalel, blows the Shofar, does Teshuvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transformed. Hashem himself is transformed from Din to Rachamim. So the color of the mantle, the beautiful color of the mantle, which represents Hashem, is transformed into white, representing Mechila, Selicha u'Mechila. The Sefer Torah and the Aron HaKodesh represents Hashem's Shekhinah, and Hashem changes. Hashem's Nida changes on the Yomim Noiroim, and to bring that out, we drape the Aron HaKodesh in white, because white, of course, is this pasuk. This, what was until now was Adumim, turned into Sarukim, whatever that means. And what was, and whatever and other colors turned into Ulevonim, to white. Because the Aron and the Torah is Hashem's Shekhinah. All right, this concludes this section. I believe we did. Now we're going to go further into interpretation. We're now going to go proceed. So now we learned last week, Hashem said to the Malach, Hashem said, Zechariah said to the Malach, Ribbono Shel Olam, what is this all about? You are showing me here a vision of a ish on a white, on a red horse, standing in the Metzula, and is followed by three more horses. A horse that's red, a horse that is the color called Sirukim, and a horse that is white. What comes to memory right now, just to review one shot, was we learned on Erev Yom Tov, and that is refers to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great is the ish sitting on the red horse. He was a bloodthirsty tyrant, but he came to a very swift end, and his malchus was divided into three divisions. One division was white. They were peace-loving people. No more wars. One division was red. They followed in the Messiah of their leader. Bloodthirsty people who wanted only to conquer and destroy. And the third division was somewhere in the middle. Sirukim, we suggest, is pink. It's a mixture, streaks. Yeah. Not necessarily pink, but it means streaks of white. Yeah.
The term is sorrel, S-O-R-R-E-L.
Sorrel. Sorrel, what's the color? Yeah.
It's a reddish brown.
A reddish brown horse. Sorrel. Okay.
Per se, but
somewhere in the middle. Okay. So that represents the division of his malchus that was Nishtahi Nishtahe. They were somewhere in the middle. On the one hand, they at times fought. They were bloodthirsty people, but other times they calmed down, they were peace loving people. Three divisions. According to the Malbim, the Malbim is the entire Nevuah from beginning to end refers to one Malchus, the Malchus of Yavin, which Chazal tell us lasted for exactly 180 years. It began with Alexander the Great. He died very young. It was taken over by it was split into three different divisions. They conquered the world. Their ideology, it's more than just the person. Their ideology conquered the world, and it influenced Klal Yisrael to a very large degree, where there were people amongst the Jewish people called Misyavnim, people that fully embraced the ideology of the Yevanim, and these individuals, this group in Klal Yisrael, were dominant. They were dominant, and they were almost successful in completely shutting down any member of Klal Yisrael that was traditional to the true Mitzvah. And that's where civil war broke out, which ended in a miraculous victory of the Chashmonoim, who overthrew the Misyavnim. Rabim biyad ma'atim. So the truth is, the real truth is, people already know this, it's not a chiddush today anymore, is that the story of Chanukah was not really a war of Yavan, the Goyim coming to get us. It was a civil war. It was primarily a civil war of the Misyavnim versus the traditional Jews. I don't have a good word for it. You can't call them the Purushim, because that's a term that was used during the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's not the right word. So what is the right word that they call? They call the Chashmonoim. But the Chashmonoim, they represented the tradition, and it was a miraculous victory. They were able to overcome and survive, and then. I don't know. We weren't there. We really don't have we can't really grasp what life was like during those days. But they definitely were dominant. This segment of the Jewish people that fully embraced the culture and ideology of the Syrian Greeks was dominant. Mm-hmm. They controlled the Beis HaMikdash. They controlled the education of the Jewish people. They controlled everything. And just a few people, a handful of people, refused. They were stubborn, akshanus, to accept that our tradition had been completely taken over, hijacked. They stood up to them, and they prevailed, and that's the miracle of Hanukkah. And according to the Malbim, what we're learning now, we're learning about Hanukkah. Even though it's Sukkot, it's coming up, but we're learning about Yom Kippur, it's still first here, is all about Hanukkah. According to the other Mefarshim that we've learned, they all pretty much say the same thing, is that this refers to the Dalid Malchios. The Ish that's sitting on the horse is Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is followed by three more horses representing the other three Golios, Paras Modai, Yavon, and then Edom. Okay, now let's see the continuation. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Or a Pasuk Yud. Vayan Ho'ish Ho'oimed Ben Hahadasim Vayoimar. Zechariah asked the question, what is the meaning of this vision? Vayan Ho'ish. The Ish means there was a Malach. It seems everyone here is of the opinion that the Ish is not the Ish on the horse. We have to be very careful. It's not the Ish on the horse. It's a different Ish that is responding. Ha'imed, and it says explicitly, the one that answered is the Ish that's Ha'imed Bein HaHadasim. He's not the Hadasim. He's Oimed between the Hadasim. Vayoymar, Eile Asher Sholach Hashem. These are the beings that Hashem has dispatched to travel in the earth. Let's go further. And they answered. Who are they? It would seem that the horses answer. We'll see. Es malach Hashem, ha'imed that is standing bein hadasim, and they said, so again, the pasuk for a second time clearly defines that the Ish is the Ish Ben Hadassim, and they said, His halachnu v'aretz, we have traveled the earth, v'hine chol aretz yeshavet v'shoy kotet. The earth is established, yeshavet means it is established, v'shoy kotet, and it's tranquil, peaceful. The world, can you imagine such a statement, to say the world is at peace, no one's going crazy out there? Vayan, Pasuk Yudbeis, Malach Hashem Vayomar, Hashem Tzivokoi, Ad Mosai, Atolo Sirachim Es Yerushalayim. How long will it be until you will show mercy upon Yerushalayim V'Yisra Yehuda? Asher Zo'amta Zeshiv M'shana, which you have been angry upon for these last 70 years. Now, let's go to the very end. Vayan Hashem, Esmalach Adoiver Bi Devarim Toivim Devarim Nichumim. What a beautiful expression. And Hashem answered the Malach, who was speaking to me with words that are Dvarim Toivim, Dvarim Nichumim. This is a very, very powerful expression. What this means, why we break it up into different parts. Words that are good, words that are comforting. Vayomer Elai, HaMalach Adoiver Bi, Kiro Leimar, call out the following. Koyama Hashem Tzivakot, Kinesi Lirushalayim Ulitzioim Kinagidela. I'm a zealot. I'm taking a, what does it mean, kinesi? Jealousy? It means kandos? Zealotry? What does this mean exactly? We have to see, but I am, it's an expression that expresses an enormous amount of emotion. That's really the common denominator of the word kina. Kina is a very hard word to translate. We simply translate as jealousy. That's a very pathetic translation. A husband, in certain situations, a husband is mekanes ishtai. His wife has an affair, so he knows about it. So he's suspicious. So he warns her. And the term the pasuk there uses is the word kina. When the Jewish people worship the Zara, Hashem is kina. Hashem is really jealous. Come on, that's not the right word. It means Hashem is disappointed. He's very disappointed. He feels betrayed. But it's all wrapped up in emotion. The word kina primarily is a word which captures emotion. And the emotion depends on the context. What is the context? A man and a wife. I married you. I committed myself to you. I supported you. I did everything for you. And you betrayed me? For this? For him? For him? Maybe for someone else, but not for him. What? Right, it depends. I mean, every situation is different. You can't generalize. Right. So there, what about right? So Pinchas, he's a kanoi. He's a zealot. It's the same word. He's a zealot. So what does that mean? He's a zealot. What does that mean? He behaves in a way that's extreme, an extremist, a fundamentalist. Why? He's jealous. He's not jealous of anything. He has certain beliefs. He's out of control. You have to analyze. I don't know. I don't have any answer. All I feel is that the word kina means an overflowing emotion, an intense feeling of emotion, which translates into action. Why? What is the trigger? That depends on the context. When it's a man and a wife, there are different dynamics. It's not always the same. You can't go see every single man that warns his wife, don't have yichud with this fellow. It has to do, it's the same reason. Sometimes a woman is overwhelmed. She can't control herself because the person that she's having, she sees, she's just enamored with. Sometimes she does it lahaches. She just wants to do it in spite of her husband. Sometimes there are other reasons. Loneliness, not necessarily because she likes the person, just she needs attention. She's lonely. Every situation is unique, but the common denominator is emotion. There's an emotion, and the trigger of that emotion depends on the context. So here, over here we have a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, Koyim Hashem Tzivokos, Kinesi Lirushalayim Ulitzion Kino Gidoila. This is not Avodah Zarah. Ordinarily, when we have the word Kinesi, it means Hashem is jealous. We use the word, we use that word jealous. Because what's the problem? The Jewish people are worshiping idols. So in our little minds, we go and we say, oh, you know, I'm jealous. Why do you worship that? Oh, why don't you worship me? It doesn't mean that over here. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a feeling of emotion to correct what is wrong, to restore the glory and what is right and what's deserving to Yerushalayim. Hashem is overwhelmed with emotion, and he now will act upon that emotion. The Ketzef Gadol, Ani Koytseis, and Hashem says, I will pour out an enormous anger, Al Hagoyim, upon the nations of the world. Hasha'ananim. Now, this is the response to the Malach. The Malach says that I checked out the whole world. We went through the entire world. The world is Yosheves Vishoykotes. Tranquil. Is the word Shoykotes the same word as Hasha'ananim? Not necessarily. In English, we like to translate it the same. We make up words. We take a thesaurus and we just read all the words. And somehow we make believe that we match this word to that word, this word to that word. Not necessarily. Each word has a lot of depth and meaning. I don't know. But these two words are always used together. Hasha'ananim, which means peaceful, calm, tranquil. It's a beautiful day. What? At ease, on the beach, and the sun is setting, and there's a quiet, light breeze, and you're sipping your pina colada. Tranquil. That's the same words you could say for the word Shoykotes. Quiet, peaceful. Obviously, they're not the same. And what's important here to note is that the Malach says the world is Shoykotes. Hashem says to the Malach, you made a mistake. You don't even know what you're saying. The world is not Shoykotes. The world is in a state of Sha'ananim. So Hashem here is correcting the Malach. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're seeing. Really? A malach makes mistakes? Can a malach doesn't know how to describe, analyze the situation correctly? Well, it seems like indeed is the case here. Let's see. Asher ani kotzafti me'ot. So Hashem says, I'm going to be angry. No, you don't know that. We can't do that. I'm going to Hashem amen. Asher ani kotzafti me'ot. Now this is the answer. This is the Ramban Sefer Pasuk. So the Ramban, let's go back as a background to read these words in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Everyone has the question, putting Ramban, why did Hashem punish the Egyptians with 10 matters and Marcus Kacholos and all the horrors that came upon them? They were supposed to do just doing their job. All the Nazis, when they were caught, I was just following orders. Following orders. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, Ger Yeh Zarecha, the Eretz Lo Lohem, V'avodim V'inui Oysom, Arba Mei Oshana. We were supposed to be afflicted. And we were the warden. We were the warden. What are you looking at? This was our job. What do you expect? You come to Rikers Island. What is no picnic over here? We're doing our job. Why are you so angry? So the Rabban says, this is the pasuk. Ashani kotzasti me'ot. Yeah, I gave you permission. I gave you permission to do a little bit. Vehema. Azru l'ra'ah. We have to deep dig deep into these words, but it means you went overboard. You helped l'ra'ah. We have to figure out a better translation, but you went way, way overboard. Way overboard. Okay, so we have to come back and analyze this. And Hashem over here is saying the same thing about the nation of the world, that when we went into Golus, they had a right to exile us due to our sins, but they went way, way too far. Okay, now let's take a look at the Mishnah. One thing at a time, there's a lot of sitting together, starting with Pasuk Yud, going to the end of this section, the Tetzav, let's take a look at Pasuk Yud, and the Mitzvah's done it. Pasuk Yud, Vayano Ish, Ki'im Ki Hu Shalat HaMalach HaDeh Rebi, Anoha Ish Ish, even though now he's saying over here, that it's interesting. In kihu sholos hamalach hadoyver boy anohu ha'ish. Now I don't know what the mitzudas David means to say. It's something a little strange. The pasuk, we'll figure this out as we go along. But in pasuk tes Zechariah, he saw the vision. Vo'imar mo eile adoni. Who is he speaking to? And pasuk yud tells us vayad ho ish. Remember, there's an ish on the horse. I told you that the one that's answering is not the man on the horse. Because when I prepared this, I don't know, last week, sometime I glanced through this in Google preparation. That's what I recall. But over here, I'm looking more carefully. Over here, he says, Zoimar, let's go back to the Mitzudos Pasik test for one moment. The Mitzudos, in his opinion, Sha'alti es Hamalach, Hadoiver bi Mo'ele. Okay, there was a Malach. And yet, he says here, Pasik Yud, Vayano Ish, in Kihu Sholos Hamalach, Hadoiver on Anohu Ho Ish. So maybe, and now is this the Ish that's on the horse? Maybe it is. Maybe it's because the ish on the horse is also standing between the hadas. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He was one riding the horse. The prophet heard the angel riding the horse reply, although he had not asked him anything. He told him that these horses were God's messengers, whom he had sent to walk to and fro on the earth. This may also be rendered, and the man standing among the myrtles, raised his voice and said to these whom the Lord had sent to walk to and fro on the earth.
Okay, so but he's not really, he just strengthening words, but it would appear from the Mitzudos that he learned that the one on the horse answering the question, even though the question was not posed in, this is a horrible violation of Derech Eretz. This is the worst thing you can do. If someone is talking to someone else, and they ask someone else a question, Reuben asks Shimon a question, it is none of Levi's business to answer the question. It is a total lack of Derech Eretz. That's all the time. You see, someone's talking to someone. Don't interrupt them. You're talking to someone. Give them the full attention. You don't. It's just not Derech Eretz. And here, Zechariah is asking a question to the Malach. And now, someone who the question was not posed to, he answers the question. Mechutzef, what are you answering the question for? It's not your business. If you learn like the Malbum, that the ish on the horse is Alexander the Great, it makes sense. Because Alexander the Great, if he's not going to get the Nobel Prize for the biggest expert in Pirkei Avos, the model of the man of the Pirkei Avos Award, he's not exactly a bloodthirsty tyrant who conquered the entire world and viewed himself to be who knows what, wasn't exactly a person cared about Derech Eretz. And if someone else asked a question, he had no trouble interjecting and answering the question on his own. That also is part of the lesson of chutzpah yaske. Okay, the chutzpah of someone answering. If you're going to learn, let's say we learn like the other mafarshim that the person on the horse is Bavel. Bavel. Bavel's already gone. Bavel's long gone. They're dead. We're holding on by Paras. We're up now to the second Malchus. And so Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, he's gone. So why is he answering the question? I don't know. This is something to think about, but it is definitely interesting that if he's asking Reuben the question, and over here someone else is responding, it does appear to be a little bit problematic. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's go for the whole ish. Eileh, the first Y line in the Mitzvah, so we have is Eileh. Hasusim o Eileh, these horses. Hey, Masha Sholach Hashem l'salich baritz l'arko l'rachba. Loreshes mishkonois lo lohem kol echad bizmanoi. Okay, so he answered, these horses, which Hashem has dispatched to travel the earth, Lo lohem kol echad, lo lohem kol echad bezmana. Each one is not, I don't know what this means.
They're not all coming at once.
Okay, they're not all coming at once.
Seriously,
they're not there. These horses, they're really total of four horses. They're out, and they're not all traveling the world simultaneously. Let's see further. Vayanu, ki amalach oimei ben adasim, sho'alam mo osu ba'aretz, kol echad bezmanai, ve'im ki lo nisar ki mechatashuva, yuvon she'sho'alam alzeh. Now there is a unwritten question. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, vayanu es malach Hashem. Excuse me, what was the question? It's like Jeopardy?
Yeah.
What was the question? You have over here, they are responding. Pasuk Yud, we have a question that Pasuk Yud replies to. Pasuk Tes is the question. Vayomer Eli Vayomar Mo Eile Adoni. What is this? So Vayomer the Malach says, I will show you what they are. And then suddenly the Ish also starts to tell him what they are. But in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we don't have a question to which Vayanu is a reply to. Along comes the Mitzvah Stavid and tells us, you're right. But from the answer, we can figure out what the question was. And what is the question? The question was, he explains, again one more time, they asked him, what did you do when you traveled the world? What did you see and what did you do? What happened when you traveled the world? And they answered, now Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hisalchu ba'aretz, Ritzon Lomar, Yorashnu es kol aretz, V'hinei kulo yosheves b'shalva v'hashket. The world is peaceful. The Ein Nisha Orev Liboy Logeshes Lamulchama Lokachas Mo Miyodenu. We conquered the world and we were successful. No one tried to remove our authority. Upisrain Hamarehi. The Mitzvus now explains. Hasusim Heim Shluchei Hamokom Yirmizu Alamalchios Hamolchim Bakipo. We're referring to kings that rule the entire world. Kipa means a dome. It's an expression which in the Chazal, common expression, it means they rule the entire world. Chazal clearly understood the world is round. By using the word kippah, which is a dome, they looked at the world as a circle, and on top of the circle, you put a dome, like a yarmulke. A yarmulke goes on your head because your head is round. Okay? They don't sell flat yarmulkes. They only sell round because most people, you have to, if you have a flat head, you have to get custom made yarmulkes. But most people have round heads. So they understood, but it's interesting, it seems from ancient times, they didn't view the world as being a ball. From all the earlier sources, they viewed the world as being a kippah, which means just 180 degrees. I don't think you can find a makar anywhere in the early Chazal that the ancient people, or even Chazal, viewed the world as being round. You find that? I don't think you find a lot of sources. They viewed the world as a kippah, 180 degrees, like a big mountain. My grandmother never believed that the day she died and they went to the moon. She went to the moon. She thought holding was a hoax. It was a hoax. Never really happened. Not possible to go to the moon. Say you say in the Kislavana. Kishem, what's the Nusach? Just like it's impossible to touch the moon, so too you can't touch Hashem. It says in the pasuk,
okay.
Right? You can't touch it. So what do you trust more? What it says in Kiddush Levana?
But then there are these tortured expressions of what happens to the sun. Where does it go?
It goes underneath.
Yeah, well.
All right, whatever this all means. In any event, it says they were describing people hamolchim b'kippah, people who rule the world b'kippah. B'kippah means the entire world. The world is a ball, or the world is some type of round entity which they ruled over. V'here loy b'dmus susim l'rames al hamhilus kalus haknua swiftness. A horse is a similar swiftness. There were many of each type, Larames, Al Marbis, Hamihuas, the abundance. So he learns over here that when it says over here they were horses, it says over here horses means they were many, many, not one horse. Read the Psukim, go back to Psukim, it says Susim. Okay, not one horse. The Acharov Susim, multiple, Blushan Rabin, Adumim, Sidukim, Ulavanim. Multiple horses means that's going to be very, very swift. They're going to conquer the entire world. Uchaderech sharaba mare acheres k'moshenemar v'hinei arba markavos b'markev harizis. Another prophecy later on. V'adumim b'chlalim yirmezu al bavel shenemar boy. The red horses allude to bavel. Shenem ant who we had this before antu reisha di dahava. Bavel in the mare of Daniel of the statue. The statue, Nebuchadnezzar was red gold, red gold. Umari hazachav aduma, he's red. The amalach shorachav alechad meho adumim. The malach, the ish that's riding on one of the horses, bo l'rames shaloi b'mikri nafla bavel. It did not happen by chance. Aval Hashem shalach malachoy v'hu rochav alecha v'chavsha tachtav v'emida ben ha'hadasim asheba mitzula. L'rames Shematelis Bavel Chaytza Ba'artza Sha'amda B'Metzula in the land that's in the swamp K'Moshenemar Ha'imei La'tzula Charbi U'Bogadlu Hadassim Merubim. And in this place they grow a lot of Hadassim V'Hasidukim Peri. So the Sivalet is cap. And according to the Mitzudois David, get not to confuse what he said with what the Abarbanel said, what we learned in the Malbim. He is learning that the red horse is Bavel. The ish on the red horse is Hashem. Hashem is mounted on this horse to symbolize that Hashem will conquer and will destroy Babel, will direct Babel, and will bring Babel's defeat in a land that's a swampy land. What is the swampy land? It would appear to be Paras, Modai. Modai is where, in the land of Modai, in Elam. Elam is the place, is not the, is Elam, but where was the capital of Modai? That was, where was Belshazzar? Belshazzar was having a party, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was conquered by the king. He was conquered in the land of Modai. So it appears that according to the Mitzvah stuff, that the swamp is not necessarily Bavel, but it's the land where he was conquered. I'm assuming he means Modai. The Asurukim Yumizu al Modai Paras. Now the next, then now goes on to say, after Acharav, even after Nebuchadnezzar, Bavel came to an end, according to the Mitzvah stuff, he's saying something very interesting, which we don't really see much about something like this. Is that Bavel lingered on. The Malchus of Bavel, even after their defeat lingered, their influence, their presence still remained, even though they were no longer in control. And that's why it says, after the horse, the red horse upon which Hashem was riding, came three more horses, three more sets of horses. And the first set of horses were red. The red refers to the remnant of Bavel. They lingered into the next generation, even though they were no longer calling the shots. Then when it says there was a horse that was Sirukim, this refers to Paras Amadai, the next Malchus. Now, because the Malchuyos, Sirukim, he says something very, very profound. Sirukim, what is Sirukim? So we learned before Yom Tov, it's a mixture. According to one interpretation, it's streaks. There's red and there's white, or maybe there are other colors. It's a mixture of two colors. Being that the second Malchus, which conquered the world, was Melech B'Kippa, and ruled over Klal Yisrael, was a team. It was Modai Uparas. That is why we select for them a horse that has two colors, streaks, stripes, like a zebra, stripes, because there were two colors. It was Modai Uparas. Daryovesh HaModi was the conqueror of Baal Shetzar. He had a son-in-law by the name of Koresh. And he, after 1 year, decided to give over the Malchus to the Eden. Okay, he was a good shver. He gave over to him, just buying the house. He gave him the world. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. You marry my daughter, I will give you the world. Okay, so Daryovesh HaModi, he gave his son-in-law Koresh the world. And he said to the Eden, my Eden, listen, I'm giving you the world. One condition. After you die, after you leave this world, you better make sure that in Yitzhava, it goes back to your cousins. I want the Malchus to go back to the nation of Modai. Koresh was not a good son-in-law. He betrayed the Shver. He took the world for himself and he kept it. He did not give back the Malchus to Modai. He was supposed to alternate. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. He refused to return the reins of the world after his death in his Sava to Modai. He kept it in the family. He gave it to his son-in-law, Achashverosh. Achashverosh's entire Malchus is illegitimate. Just like Obama is illegitimate because he was born in Indonesia. I'm one of the brothers. And even though he has a birth certificate in Hawaii, we all know the birth certificate was make-believe because we have on record the birth certificate in Indonesia. So the Malchus of Obama was illegitimate. It says in the Constitution that you have to be an American citizen, and you have to be born in a country in order to be the president of the United States. I told you the story many, many times that my father was born in America, was born in the United States, but my grandparents, they lived after the war. They came from Shanghai, they came to Canada, and they were in Canada for a period of time. And then, for a short period of time, and then they came to New York, to the Bronx. They came to New York, and my father was born in New York. And my father got his birth certificate because my grandfather lived in Canada. There was some mix-up. They wrote on my father's birth certificate that he was born in Canada. And my grandfather, he went to, I don't know where he went. He went to the government, whatever. He went to the office to have it corrected, to prove to them that my father was born in the United States. The clerk said to my grandfather, what difference does it make? He's a United States citizen. Doesn't make a difference. And my grandfather said to the clerk, can't be the president. To be the president of the United States, you have to be born in the country. And I want to make sure that my son has an opportunity to be even the president of the United States of America. Now that's a father. That was my grandfather. And he really did that. Okay, that's an amazing story. Okay, that's what a grandfather is all about. That's what a father's all about. That's right. You make sure your child has every last opportunity in this world. And look at Obama. Obama's mother, same thing. She gets all the credit. She went so far. She actually lied. She actually went so far. In those days, big deal. You walk in Hawaii. Back in those days, you could do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want there. So she bought him a birth certificate. He bought the United States, big deal. And only because of that, he was the president. But the truth is, the emphasis, he wasn't born in the United States. So if it was illegitimate, well, who cares, right? I don't care, who cares? But when you talk about go back into the Malchus of the world, going back into ancient times, this is not an insignificant fact that I just told you, because the whole Malchus of Achashverosh was illegal. Achashverosh was Melech the Keeper. He ruled the whole world, but it was illegal. He was not allowed to do so. His father-in-law, Achashverosh, was a Paras, a Persian, and the Persians were not allowed to hold on to the Malchus. The Malchus, there's a condition, it was etched in stone, that the Malchus would alternate between Modai uParas. After Koresh died, it's supposed to go back to Modai. Why is it still remaining in the possession of Paras? It was an illegitimate Malchus. And that is a significant fact in the Purim story. That the Malchus, the Achashverosh keeps on telling Esther, Ad chatzi ha-Malchus, tinosin. Excuse me, sir. You're not the balabas on the Malchus to give me half. You don't own nothing. Your Malchus, if you're the balabas and you want to go say, I'll give you half, okay, you have a right. You don't even have the right to give anything because this is not yours. This is not your Malchus. There was a condition. Modai Paras, Modai Paras. What is it doing in the family of Paras at this point in time? Look, we have the same problem as well with the Chashmonaim. The miracle of Chanukah took place through the Chashmonaim. What are they doing in position of power? It belongs to Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda. Is there some Nida Keneged Nida taking place over here? That we acted in an illegitimate way, and thus the next cycle we suffered a tsara from an illegitimate authority. The authority of the Chashmonaim was not legal. It was not legal. This was, and so you'll say, well, it was a Hayra Shah. Okay, if it's a Hayra Shah, then it should have gone back. To show that it was a Hayra Shah, when it's over, return it. And that's where the corruption continued. They refused to return it. The Chashmonaim refused to give it back. So it's not, there's a pattern taking place over here. Cause and effect. All right, this is just a thought. This is over here. But we over here is a very important idea. It's a very incredible idea about the shurukim. The shurukim are streaks, two colors. Why are there two colors for this Malchus? Because it was a team. It was Paras Umadai. And then we come to the white. And what's the significance of the white? The Alavonim, towards the bottom, the white, Yirmezu al Yavon, the Yitachin, Shazel, the Pisha, Minig, Lubash, Malbush, Lavon, the Holtuvim, the Yothium, Shayu, Lavon, the Hatahaflaga, the Loy, Heroloy, the Maris, Achimalchus, Hervius, we then the full of Pisha, Masham, Shola, Hois, Achar, Hubin, Bais, Hashem, the Dino, Dibaboy, Mahubin, Azel, the Achash, Dibaboy, Mize, Herolo, Biemis, Rolozin, Gam, Amalchus, Hervius. Okay, so you've seen two very amazing, amazing things. Go to a wedding. What color is the kala, the dress of the kala? White. There's something very beautiful about white. White represents purity. Yavon is Yast Elokim Liyafes. Yafes represents beauty. Beauty. And the Yavonim, they exploited the koyach of Yoifi. And white captures, according to the Mitzvah Stav, it's a whole new opening to appreciate the Yomim Noiraim, why we wear white. This I've never seen before. You've seen all the spooky stuff, the Tachrichim, the Tahira, even Lavan Harani, Lavan means white. Torah was given, Torah, the Lucha Shniyos. No, not The Torah was given in Ksav Libuna, Ksav Ivris. The Torah was given to us. There's another reason why we are going back to what we said before, and we started the shiur. Why do we dress the Sifrei Torah in white? In which Ksav was the Torah given? Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Ivris? Ivris is the Ksav you see in the museums. Ksav, so the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara says, the Gemara talks about it. It's not so clear. But many of the commentators are of the opinion that the Luchos Rishonos were given in Ksav Ashuris, like what we have today in the Sifrei Torah, and the Luchos Shinios were given in Ksav Ivris. The Gemara and Masechta Sanhedrin asks the question, what is Ksav Ivris? And the Gemara says, Ksav Li Bu No'o. The white ksav. What does the white ksav mean? There are many interpretations as to what that means. On a very similar level, it means the ksav that was invented by Lavan Ho'arat. He was the master of Aramaic. He was his ksav. Ksav li bu no'o Lavan. On Yom HaKippurim, what is Yom HaKippurim the anniversary of? The giving of the Luchos Shinios. The highlight of the Yomim Noiroim is Yom Kippur, no? Elul to Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And then we wind down with Sukkot. The highlight of the Yomim Noiroim is Yom Kippur. Kisav, Yom Kippur, is Luchos Shinios. Luchos Shinios, Kisav, Libu Na'a. To indicate that this is a Luchos Shinios, we dress the Sefer Torah in white because of the Kisav, Libu Na'a, white, Lashon of white. Okay, it's another pshat. Because again, what Averi did the Sefer Torah do that it needs to be dressed in Tachlichen? It didn't do any Averi Sefer Torah. So we explain. It's the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mahapech Miridas Din, Reges Terachamim. It is Ksav Libuna, Slichu Mechila. But here's another pshat. Love on white is beauty, Yoisi. And that's why in this vision, the Malchus of Yavon is riding a white horse. Yoifi, beauty, is found in the color white. Thus, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we dress in white, we decorate our Sefer Torah in white to beautify. Ze keli ve anvehu. Ani vahu. When you talk about beautification, you automatically bring into the picture ani vahu. We're buddy-buddy, Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't go nowhere without us. We're all the same, buddy, buddy. Okay, there are many, many layers of interpretation of ani v'hu. Heavy doimeloi, mahu racho, mavata tirach, mahu chano, navata. But ani v'hu, there's a connection. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How? Ze keli ve anvehu. Beautification, because the beautification also captures Nivuhu, also captures Sukkot, Noveh, an abode, the Sukkot is a Noveh, all comes together. But it's an amazing thing, how often do you see something white represents beauty, and Yavon is beauty. Yaftelukim liyafes v'yishkun maleshem, we take the leader of Yafi, of Yavon, and we bring it into our religion. That's what we all wear. These fancy suits from Italian designers, right? You have to bring in from Greece. You have to bring in all the Yavan designers to Mekayim what it says in the pasuk. All right, we're going to stop over here. We'll take a short, very short break. We'll talk a little bit about